Sorry, if you want to say good morning. So today's daf. Today's daf is Nun Aleph. We're just going to start the last three lines of Nun Amud Beis. So the Gemara quotes actually from the Mishnah. Amar Shvisasi, actually last two lines. Amar Shvisasi Biikaro. Remember, this was towards the end of the Mishnah that we had earlier. If a person says, a person is a distance away from their home, and a person makes the statement, let my makom shvisa be at the trunk of a particular tree. Again, remember, I'm not there. This trunk is somewhere within 2,000 amos of my current location. And the chap is that the trunk is also within 2,000 amos of my home. So ultimately, my goal here is I want to be able to get home on Shabbos. I'm not going to make it there. I'm not going to make it into my tchum of my home before Shabbos. So what do I say? My makom shvisa, my domicile should be by the trunk of the tree. So the Mishnah says, Amar Shvisasi Biikaro, Mahalech Mimakom Raglo Va'adikaro Paim Amo. I could walk from where I presently am until the trunk of the tree, assuming that the trunk of the tree is within 2,000 amos. Umeikaro Lebeisa Paim Amo. And then, again, because I've established my Makom Shvisa, my domicile at the trunk of the tree, that becomes now the base of my Tchum, and therefore what? I can travel from the base home, assuming that what? That home is within 2,000 amos of the trunk of the tree. Nimsa mahalich mishech hashicha dalid apayim amo. So the Mishnah says it could be that what would end up happening is you would end up walking 4,000 amos on Shabbos, right? Because remember, technically speaking, if the trunk is within 2,000 amos of my current location, I can make the trunk my makom shvisa. That gives me then another 2,000 amos from the trunk. So it turns out you could walk permissively 4,000 amos on Shabbos. Top of Nun Aleph. I'm a Rava. So Rava says, but Rava qualifies this statement. Vohu v'chirohitli karo mati. So Rava says, this is only true if, technically speaking, you could reach the trunk before Shabbos. What it literally means is, if you were to start running, you would be able to make it to the trunk before Shabbos. So Rava says, this is very interesting, because I think many of us, when we learned this halacha originally in the Mishnah, we wondered why this should be true. Why should it be true that if ultimately I have, let's say, the tree trunk within 2,000 amos of my present location, why should I be able to make that my makom shvisa, my domicile, if lemaisa I'm not there? So Rava says, you're right. In order to make it your makom shvisa, you actually have to have what? The ability to make it there before Shabbos. Now again, it doesn't mean you have to get there. It doesn't mean you have to run there. But it has to be possible that if I were to run there, I'd be able to make it there before Shabbos. Amri Abaye, v'hocha sheikha lo katani. But one second. But the Mishnah will say itself, if you remember how the Mishnah read, so the Mishnah said, Nimsa ata mahalich mishecha sheikha. Excuse me. This was Misha Baba Derech, the Choshchalo. We're talking about over here a case of where a person's traveling and it's getting dark. Now, getting dark, Pipashtas means what? That you would not have time to reach this newly designated domicile. You would not have time to reach the trunk of the tree. So Rabbi, how can you tell me that the Mishnah is talking about a case where I would have time if I were to run at full speed to make it to the tree? To which Rava responds, no. When the Mishnah says that it was getting dark, the Mishnah means that it was getting too dark for you to make it home. But technically speaking, what? You would have time to make it to the tree trunk prior to the onset of Shabbos. Again, I'll both say it one more time. Rava's not saying you have to get to the tree trunk before Shabbos. Rava's just saying that in order to count that as your makom shvisa, you have to have the ability to have made it there before Shabbos. As long as you have the ability, even if you didn't, it makes it your makom shvisa. Ika da Amri, others have a different version of this exchange, and they say, Amar Rava, chashchalo, Kimaski Kali Kali. So Rava says that ultimately what? When does it, Chashchalo, the case in the Mishnah is where it's getting dark, and you would not make it there, you would not make it to the tree trunk before dark. Kimaska Kali Kali, when you walk slowly, Aval, Rohit, but if you were to run, Mati, then you would make it there. Fine. We'll say, by the way, that is lemaisa accepted by the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam. That you could only use this idea of designating a distant place as your makom shvisa, if you would have the ability to technically reach it before Shabbos. If you can't technically reach it before Shabbos, you can't establish it as a makom shvisa. Rabbi of Rav Yosef, hava ka'azli ba'archa. Rabbi and Rav Yosef were traveling on the road. Amrali Rabbi of Rav Yosef, Rabbi said to Rav Yosef, tehei shvisa sinu tusik dikla desabi lachua. Let's go ahead and establish as our domicile, as our makom shvisa, literally, we'll say the translator, this means the palm tree that rests on its friend. So they were talking about, I guess there was some kind of palm tree that grew in such a way that it grew on top of another palm tree. So this was a site. So Rabbi says to Rabbi Yosef, let's have in mind that should be our makom shvisa, that should be our damasal. Apparently they needed to get somewhere within 2,000 hours of the palm tree. So let's put that as our damasal. But Amarle, to say dikla, the parik mari mikargo. Others say, no, they were referring to the tree, literally the palm tree, that exempted its owner from tax. So mostly, apparently, that refers to a fruit tree that has a very bountiful harvest. So much harvest that even though the owner has to pay taxes, there's so much fruit that it offsets the cost of the taxes. Yoda leimar, so Rabbi Rav Yosef, do you know what I'm talking about? Amarle lo yedanale. So Rav Yosef said, Rabbi, I don't know what you're talking about, meaning I'm not familiar with that tree. Amarle smoch alai. So Rabbi said to Rav Yosef, no problem, depend on me. Depend on me, meaning smoch alai, depend on me to establish for both of us a makom shvisa. This sanya, because the Braisa says, Rav Yosi Omer, im hayu shnayim, if two people are traveling together, echad makir ve'echad she'eno makir. One recognizes a landmark that could serve as a makom shvisa, and the other does not. Ze she'eno makir, moser shvisa so lemakir. The one who doesn't recognize the landmark, meaning who doesn't know about this particular makom shvisa, gives over the ability to establish a makom shvisa to the other guy who does know. Ze shemakir, the one who recognizes the makom shvisa, Omer tehei shvisa sinu b'makom ploni. Allow our makom shvisa to be in a particular place. So we'll say the ma'aseh. This is a fascinating halacha. Now we'll have to see if this is true or not. There's actually going to be a mishnah later on. We'll see if everybody agrees with this concept. But for now, the Gemara is espousing this fascinating idea: two people traveling as a unit. Now we'll say again, under normal circumstances, you can't necessarily use this concept. This only works with travelers who are traveling together. One knows the landmark, the forward landmark, to establish as a makom shvisa. One does not. The one who does not has the ability to give over his makom shvisa establishing rights to the one who does know the landmark, and the one who does the landmark can establish a makom shvisa on behalf of both of them. So the Gemara just says something very interesting. Velohi. The Gemara says, I just have to be honest with you, for the sake of full disclosure, this price is not articulated in a totally true fashion. Lo velohi, lo tanle krabiosi. Rabbi Yossi actually never said this statement. Ela ki hechi de lekabele mine mishum Rabbi Yossi nimuko imo. So we'll say what happened. The rabbis wanted this ruling to be accepted. So what did they do? They gave it over in the name of Rabbi Yossi. Why? Because Rabbi Yossi, we actually saw this earlier, Rabbi Yossi nimuko imo means Rabbi Yossi always had his reasoning with him. Rabbi Yossi is considered to be a very authoritative sage. And usually whenever he weighs in on something, the halacha usually follows him. So the Rabbanon involved in this case wanted everybody to believe that this was the halacha. So I said that Rabbi Yossi said it. Now we'll say, sounds a little bit strange. It's actually very strange. We'll discuss it. This is going to be a sugya by itself. It's actually going to be our next two Mishnayos. I'm sorry? Yeah, we're not going to get into that. All right, so what's interesting about this is the following. What's interesting is there is a concept that sometimes when you want automatic buy-in into halacha, you could ascribe a particular opinion to someone who never actually said it in order that people will ultimately subscribe to it. That's only, of course, if it's bona fide halacha, and that's only, of course, if you have a majority of rabbanim who sign on to it. We'll see we're going to devote significant time to this particular case. But right now, for our purposes, the reason why the Gemara brings this in right now is because after Rava qualified the ruling of the Mishnah, that Lemaisa, this idea of using a forward location as your makom shvisa, A, only works for something we've already established if you know it. Meaning if you know it, then if you specify a specific area, that's number one. Number two now says, Rabbi, you have to have the ability to reach it. You don't have to actually reach it, but you have to have the ability to reach it. And now Chiddush number three is that if a group is traveling together, if one knows about this forward makom shvisa and the others do not, the others could give over their rights of makom shvisa establishment to the one who does, and the one who does could establish on behalf of the entire group. Im eino makir, o she'eino boki. So if you remember again, the Mishnah said, let's say a person is traveling, and they don't know a forward landmark for which to establish their makom shvisa, or for that matter, they're not familiar with this halacha, that you can do such a thing. So what does a person do? A person says, this is my makom shvisa, right? This is my domicile, and what do they have? Good news is, they still have 2,000 amos from wherever they are. So the Gemara just says, Hani apayim amo hechon ksivon. Because you know, it's always interesting when the Gemara does this. We've been discussing this for such a long time, and now the Gemara says, "Oh, by the way, where do we learn this concept from? That there are 2,000 amos, right? Where do we get 2,000 amos from?" Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says, "This sanya, shvu ish tachtov." Once again, we actually quoted this before. The Torah says that shvu ish tachtov. Each person shall remain in his place. Elu arba amos. That refers to the arba amos of a person, right? The idea that a person has dalet amos personal space wherever he goes, that comes from, remember we actually had this about 3 or 4 days ago. Shvu ish tachtov, the Gemara said, ki tachtov, like the amount of space that he occupies, which Chazal said for a regular person is dalet amos. That's your personal space. Apayim amminolon. Where do we get 2,000 amos? So the Gemara says, amarav chista, lamadnu, okay, so now also, let me give you a little bit of introduction to this. We're all familiar with the Gzeira Shava, right? So a Gzeira Shava means that if you have two words that appear in two different circumstances, two different places in the Torah, you can create a halachic bridge between those two words, and that allows you to learn out concepts from A to B and from B to A. This is a next level Gzeira Shava, where what this Gzeira Shava is going to do is you're going to find two words in two locations, but let's say the word in the second location also has another word, right? And that second word then is found in another location. And then that third location then has another word. And that another word allows you to go. So what it is it's a link. It's a link. So you'll find word A, but in the second instance of word A, there's word B. So then you're going to go ahead and build on word B, because word B is found somewhere else. But in the second occurrence of word B, there's also word C. And word C will then take you to somewhere else. And in word C, there's also word D. And word D. So it's a multi-level Gzeira Shava. Now again, I want to be clear. The Gemara is not here suggesting that based on this, Tchum is going to be Da'oraisa. Right? Even if Tchum is Drabana, what we're just trying to find right now is a scriptural allusion. Where do we see the concept that, I mean, even if you say that the rabbis have 2,000 amos, rabbis don't pull 2,000 amos out of the air. Where does the conceptually 2,000 amos come from? So the Gemara says, Lamanu, Makom mi Makom. So we'll say we see. So take a look at Rashi. Makom mi Makom, Makom mi Nusa. Makom shene, Pasuk shene marbo Makom, Vlo ne marbo Nisa. Donin oso mi Pasuk acher, shene marbo Makom mi Nisa. Kigon, Al yetze ishmim komo. So we're not going to get into this right now. But the point the Gemara makes is, we find one Pasuk that says Makom, from another Pasuk that says Makom. But in the second Pasuk that says Makom, it also says Nisa, which means traveling. V'nisa minisa, we learn out Nisa from Nisa. V'nisa migvul, we learn out the pasuk of Nisa from the pasuk of boundary. Ugvul migvul, and boundary from boundary. Ugvul michutz, boundary from chutz. The chutz michutz. Ultimately, Rabbi said this ends up with a pasuk of chutz michutz. And what's the pasuk? Tichsev, umadosem michutz la'ir. As pa'as keitma alpayim ama. So we'll say you have this multi-tier gzeira shava. Ayin Rashi. You can see in Rashi. Rashi gives you all the psukim. So the point is, you end up with this pasuk by the Arei HaLevim. So remember, the Levim don't have a tribal portion in Eretz Yisrael. But what do they have? They're given certain areas, and in the Arei HaLevim, in each of the cities, they're given a boundary of 2,000 amos. 2,000 amos. So you see from here what? That there is a concept, meaning in the Arei HaLevim, the Levim were given certain cities, and there was an outer ring of 2,000 amos. We'll discuss what you did with that 2,000 amos, but you did not use that for building. Part of it, we'll see 1,000 amos was used for farming, and 1,000 amos was supposed to be open. Open space, park space. So the Torah says, the Gemara says, you see from here, that there's a concept, umadosem, you will measure, michutz la'ir, as pa'as kema, this literally means the eastern boundary, alpayim ama. So we'll say, you see from here, that the measure of a boundary, when you want to speak about a boundary, what's the basic measure of a boundary? 2,000 amos. So the Gemara says, v'neilif, why don't we just learn out, from the pasuk, mekir ha'ir v'chutza, elef ama. Why don't you just run out from the pasuk that from the wall of the city and outward was 1,000 amos? Now, we'll say that means 1,000 amos of vacant space. There was also another 1,000 amos that could be used for farming. So why don't we just learn out from that pasuk? It's a much shorter gzeira shava. Danin chutz michutz, ve'in danin chutz michutza. Because we'll say since part of the gzeira shava was based on the word chutz chutz, we would rather find another pasuk that has the word chutz as opposed to finding a pasuk that uses the word chutza. Because although it's the same Shorosh of Osev and making Gzeir Shava, we'd rather use exactly similar words, we'd rather use words that are exactly the same than simply use similar words. So the Gemara says, my nafkamina, but what does that matter? When making a Gzeir Shava, you don't need the two words to be exactly the same. All you need is for the words to be similar, to which the Gemara says, Hatana Devei Rabbi Yishmael, v'shav ha-kohen, uba ha-kohen. So let's say the Gemara brings an example of this. The shav ha-kohen, uba ha-kohen literally means the kohen will return and the kohen will go. Now we'll say, what is this referring to? This is talking about tzaras habayis. Now, if you remember, when we think about tzaras, we often think about tzaras of the guf of the body. There's another form of tzaras which afflicts homes. So the Torah here, again, Rashi points out there's a process for inspecting a home from tzaras. So the Gemara makes the following drasha, that we learn out certain laws of tzaras habayis, or I should say we equate certain processes of tzaras habayis from processes that occur when the coin comes the first time and when the coin comes the second time. Remember, the first time the coin comes to the home, that's the initial inspection. Sometimes what has to happen over there, if the coin fears that there's tzaras, they have to close off the home for a period of 7 days and then the coin comes back. The Gemara learns out certain similarities between the first time the coin comes and the second time the coin comes. How does the Gemara learn out similarities between those two instances? By equating the phrases of v'shava coin, uba coin. Now I will say, how could the Gemara make a gzera shava from v'shava coin, uba coin? Because in reality, they're both the same word. What do they both mean? What do they both mean? To come, right? To enter. So what do you see from here? You see from here that you can make a gzera shava even with what? Even with dissimilar words. So if that's the case, that you can make a gzera shava even with dissimilar words, the Gemara asks, why do you have to go through this whole multi-tiered gzera shava to learn out that a tchum is 2,000 amos? Why don't you just learn it out from the pasuk of mekir ha'ir v'chutza elef amo? To which the Gemara says, no. Hani midi hecha deleka midi dedamile. When do we use dissimilar words for making gzera shava? That's only when there is no similar word. So if there's no exact word, right? No, if you don't can't find the same word exactly the same time twice, then what can you do? You can make a gzera shava even with dissimilar words. However, but where there is an exactly similar word, then what? Then that indeed is the word that we ultimately use for the gzera shava. Okay. Oh, well, there's machlokis sometimes in the Mesorah. There's machlokis in the Mesorah. And that's not true. Some gzeros shavos are halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. Some are Torah Shebaal Peh, which means Chazal have the right to make them as well. All right, so we'll say, what do we get from that particular sugya? What we get from that sugya is that there is a biblical text, there's a biblical proof text for the concept of tchum. Dalet Amos, we know Shavu Ish Tachta. And again, ultimately, we learn out the concept of 2,000 amos being a boundary from this multi-tier, this multi-layered gzera shava. Fine, Apaim ama agula. So we'll say the next interesting machlokas in the Mishnah was between Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus and the Chachamim. Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus said, let's go back to our regular case. I'm traveling on the road, and I don't know a forward landmark. So what do? I say, where I am right now, this is my makom shvisa, this is my domicile. So what do I have? I have 2,000 amos. So Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus said that, how do I measure my 2,000 amos? Agulos. It's a circle. The Chacham say, how do I measure my 2,000 amos? I make a square. So the Gemara says the following. Apayim ama agulos, quoting the Mishnah. Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, Marashach. So both said, the Gemara questions. Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, explain to me your reasoning that you make a circle around the 2,000 amos. E is like Gzera Shava. If you hold up the Gzera Shava, the pasuk used for the Gzera Shava uses the word peos, uses the word corners, which indicates what Rabbi was saying, that when measuring the 2,000 amos, what do? You square it, right? Because if you're squaring it, that's what it means you get the corners. E less like Gzera Shava, and if he doesn't hold up the Gzera Shava, Apaim Amma Minole, where does he know the 2,000 amos from? To which the Gemara says, the Olam is like Gzera Shava. You're right, in reality, Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus does hold up the Gzera Shava. Aye, so why doesn't he say that you square off the 2,000 amos for Tchum Shabbos? To which the Gemara says, v'shayni hacha, it's different over here by Tchum Shabbos. Why? The Amar Krak, as the Pasuk says, ze yeh lohem migrashei ha'arim. The Pasuk says, this will be for you the measurement of the Levitic cities. Laze atano Saint Peos. For this, i.e. for measuring the Levitic cities, that's where you give the corners, that's where you square off the measurements. But you do not go ahead and give corners for establishing Tchum Shabbos. So what the Chanidu ben Atignis picks up on is that the Pasuk that measures the Tchum by the cities of the Levim, also remember, this is not the size of the city of the Levim. This is not, you have the cities of the Levim. The Levim are given 2,000 amos outside of their cities. That's where we learn, this is our source for the concept that a Shabbos boundary should be 2,000 amos. So therefore, Rabbi Chanidu ben Atignis says, the Pasuk by our Levim uses the Lashon of Bezeh. This is where you will measure it in a squared off corners. The inference from that is what? Is in other areas of halacha where you use the boundary of 2,000 amos, you will not square it off, and therefore you don't get the corners. Therefore, again, Rabbi Chanina ben Atignis paskins here that by Tchum Shabbos, you get 2,000 amos every direction, but what we do is we draw a circle around your Makom Shavisa. However, Verabbanan, what do the rabbis say? Verabbanan, Tani Rabbi Chananya Omer, Kazeh, Yihiyu Kol Shov Se Shabbos. So the Rabbanan, remember, will say, how did the Rabbanan paskin? The Rabbanan Mishkan paskin, the Rabbanan in the Mishnah paskin, that's what? That even for Tchum Shabbos, what do you get? You get a square. Why? Because they understand when the Pasuk says, Ze Yelohem, Migrashe Arim, the way you're supposed to darshan the Pasuk is, Kazeh. Like this, you shall measure all measurements of boundaries. Just like the Arei HaLevim gets squared off, so too Tchum Shabbos should also get squared off as well.
That means that he can work even further than 2,000 amos.
Correct. We're going to see that right now. That is correct. That is correct. If you were to walk the diagonal of the square, now again, the answer is yes. The answer is yes. Or to say it even simpler, correct. If you were to walk the diagonal in one direction, you would get 2,000 amos plus the actual corner. That is correct. So the Gemara says, Amar Abacha bar Yaakov, Hama'avir, listen to this. Rabbi said, now that we've spoken about this idea of squaring off, the Gemara now brings down this concept of the square in other areas as well. This is quite fascinating. Amar Abacha bar Yaakov, Hama'avir, Dalet Amos Birush Sarabim. Rabbi said, now nothing to do with Tchum. So let's say now I'm in Ush Sarabim. We know that the minimum, in order to be Chayiv for carrying in Ush Sarabim, you have to carry Dalet Amos. Comes on Gavacha bar Yaakov and says that you're only Chayiv, if for carrying Dalet Amos and Ush Sarabim, Ad Shema'avir Hin V'Alachson. So Hin V'Alachson means you're only Chayiv if you carry through the diagonal of Dalet Amos. And we'll say, what does that mean? This is quite fascinating. What's the diagonal of Dalet Amos? The diagonal would actually be 5 3/4 Amos. So comes along, this is quite fascinating, so comes along with Achar by Yaakov and says that you're only Chayiv for carrying Dalet Amos on Shabbos is if you carry through the diagonal, which is 5 3/4, which of course is a kula. Is a cooler right? Because what he's saying is you actually have more than Dalet Amos to carry on Shabbos. Amrat Baba. We'll say again, even though this has nothing to do with our sugya, the only reason the Gemara is bringing this down now is because we're talking about the squaring off of the areas. Amrat Papa, Bodik Lan Rava. So Rav Baba said, Rava checked into this following situation for us. Amud Birsh Sarabim, if you have a pillar, Nur Sarabim, Gavoa Yud, 10 Tfachim high, Verochav Dalet, and 4 wide, Tsarich Hein Va'alachson Olo. In order to violate Shabbos, do you have to go ahead and does it have to be a square? That's really the question. Does it have to be a square or not? So now we're rethinking everything we know about Shabbos. So now, for example, up until this point, when we spoke about this idea of you had a pillar in Sarabim that's 10 Tfachim high and 4 wide, so does it have to be a square in order to be considered a different Roshos? Olo or not? And we said about this, Lav Hainu Rav Chananya. Is this not the case of Rav Chananya? Tisanya Rav Chananya Omer, Kazeh Yihiyu Kol Shov Se Shabbos. Because it was after Rav Chananya said that Kazeh, remember he learned that from the Migrashe HaLevim, that just like by the Migrashe HaLevim, the boundary has to be squared. Rav Chananya is of the opinion that in order for any Roshus to be its own separate Roshus, it has to be a square. If it's not a square, it does not qualify as a Roshus. Now, I will say, Lemaisa, we don't pass in this way. We hold that a Roshus can be a separate Roshus, even if it's not a square. But what we do pass, well, we'll see what we pass in. Okay. So we'll say, just so you should know, in the Mishnah, we actually pass in like the Chachamim, that for Tchum Shabbos, we give a person a squared off area. So in reality, even though we've been talking about that the tchum extends 2,000 amos, it's not totally true, as Mr. Marder pointed out. It's really 2,000 amos plus the area of the corners. So you actually have, and we've also seen this already, because you have more than that. Really what it is you have 2,000 amos plus the corner, plus what? Plus dalet amos. Because remember, so you've already established you actually have dalet amos outside of your tchum. So already, it's a good amount more than the actual 2,000 amos. Fine. So we pass him like the Chacham over Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus in the case of Tchum Shabbos. V'zeu sha'amru ha'ani ma'ariv beraglof. So again, this is the end of the Mishnah. So what did the Mishnah say? So the Mishnah said, this is what we meant when we say that the Ani could establish a domicile with his feet, that the Ani could establish a Makom Shvisa with his physical presence. So just to remind you, Rabbi Meir was of the opinion in the Mishnah that only an Ani can establish a Makom Shvisa with his feet, with his physical body, right? But let's say an Ashir would have to go ahead and use food. Rabbi Huda, on the other hand, was of the opinion that both an Ani and an Ashir can both establish a Makom Shvisa just with their body. They don't need food. So now the Gemara says something very interesting. Amar Rav Nachman, Machlokes Bimekomi. There is a Machlokes Bimekomi. Now, Bimekomi means, in this case over here, where Lemaisa, a person is traveling, and they want to establish a Makom Shavisa where they are right now. I'm on the road, I want to establish a Makom Shavisa right here. So the machloket is, how do I establish that Makom Shavisa? Rabbi Meir holds, Iker Eruv Bepas. A real Eruv, what is the essence of Eruv? The essence of Eruv is with food. That's how you make an Eruv. You make an Eruv with your food. That the only way to really establish a domicile is to put your food in a particular place. Ani, on the days, Ani, Anihu, Da'akilu Rabbanan Iluye. So the rabbis were makel with an Ani and allowed an Ani to go ahead and what? And establish a Makom Shvisa even with his body. Now, we'll say, we're going to have to qualify our terms over here. What's an Ani? What's an Asher? Look at Rashi. Anihu Da'akilu Rabbanan Gabe, Haba Bederech, Ve'ini Mopas. So we'll say, listen to this. An Ani over here, the way we're using Ani is a traveler. An Ani is someone who is not home, and therefore very well may not have provisions on him because his intention wasn't necessarily to set on a long journey, but he doesn't have food with him right now. So that's what we're calling an Ani. Lav dafka, that he's actually impoverished. It's just, regarding this particular situation, he's an Ani. However, an Ashir we're going to see, an Ashir, look at Rashi, Aval Ashir, Rashi says, Kigon Yoshev Beveso. So what's an Ashir? An Ashir is someone who's at home. Who's at home? Lo Zuvalo, so I said, listen to this. Now the Gemara says Rabbi Meir holds, how do you really make an Eruv? This Eruv Tchumin. An Eruv Tchumin is made with food. That's how you establish an Eruv Tchumin. However, Ani Hudakil Rabbanin Iluyeh. The rabbis were makel with an Ani. Because listen, Ani's traveling. He doesn't necessarily have provisions with him. So what do we allow him to do? We allow him to establish a Makom Shvisa even just with his physical presence. Aval Ashir lo. But Ashir, if you're sitting at home, you cannot go ahead and just simply designate a Makom. Rather, in order for you to make an Erev, what do you have to do? You have to go ahead and bring food to the site at which you want to make an Erev. Rabbi Huda says no. So Rabbi Huda holds, Iker Eruv Beregel Echad Ani Ve'echad Ashir. Everyone agrees, Rabbi Huda holds, that really when it comes to an Eruv, the essence of Eruv could be established how? Through your physical presence, and that's true with a rich person or a poor person. However, Avab B'mokom Ploni Divrei HaKol Ani In Ashir Lo. Supposedly listen to this. However, Rabbi Huda holds that Mokom Ploni, what's Mokom Ploni? Mokom Ploni is the ability to establish a Makom Shvisa at a forward distance without actually being there. Rabbi Yehuda holds that license was only given to who? To the Ani. What's an Ani? A traveler. But if somebody is sitting at home and he says, oh, let my Makom Shvisa be underneath the tree, right, which is 1900 amos away, sorry, that does not work. So we'll say, so this is again fundamental machlokis. One more time. Rabbi Meir holds, and this is a fundamental machlokis in Eruv. Rabbi Meir holds the essence of Eruv is made by food. Is made by food. And therefore the rabbis were only makel to allow you to establish a domicile with your body for an Ani, but not for an Ashir. Rabbi Huda says no. The actual essence of an Eruv is with your physical presence. And therefore, whether you're an Ani, whether you're an Ashi, you can establish an Eruv with a physical presence. When do we distinguish between an Ani and an Ashir? From making a Makom Shvisa at a forward location. That an Ani, the traveler, could do, but somebody sitting in his house cannot do. So the Gemara goes weiter. When the Mishnah said the lashon of v'zohi sha'amru, and this is what we said, that an ani can make an eruv even with his physical presence. What is that referring to? Man katanila, who stated that? Rabbi Meir. That was Rabbi Meir's statement, right? Because Rabbi Meir was one. Rabbi Meir is the opinion who says that what? That lemaisa only an ani is really allowed to establish an eruv with his physical presence. Vahaya. In which case is it referring to? Vahaya aino makir. It's referring to a case. Osheino bakbi alocha. It's referring to a case of a person either who does not recognize a forward landmark or who's not well versed in halacha, and therefore again Rabbi Meir says the ani is given the right to establish a makom shvisa with his physical presence. V'lo amru ma'arvin bepas elo lehakil, and when the Mishnah says a statement of they only say you can make an eruv with bread to be made until lenient, man katanila, whose opinion is that? That's Rabbi Yehuda. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, because remember Rabbi Yehuda said that lemaisa the ikar eruv is really with your body. Rav Chista said no. Machlokias b'makom ploni. Rav Chista frames it differently. Rav Chista says the machlokias in Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is in a case of where a person wants to establish their makom shvisa in some forward area where they are not yet present. To Rabbi Meir, sub Rabbi Meir says ani in ashir lo. Rabbi Meir says a poor person, a traveler, can do this, but a person in their home cannot. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Echad Ani ve'echad Ashir. And Rabbi Yehuda actually holds that what? Both an Ani and an Ashir can do so. Aval bim komi, but to establish a domicile in the place where they presently are. Divrei HaKol Echad Ani ve'echad Ashir. Everyone agrees that both an Ani and an Ashir can establish the Makom Shvisa just with their physical presence. Why? The Iker Erev Beregel. Because the essence of an Erev is established with one's physical presence. V'zohi sha'amru man katanila. And who is the opinion who stated in the Mishnah that this is the case of where an Ani could be ma'arev? This is the case of an Ari establishing a makom shvisa with his physical presence. Rabbi Meir. It's referring to Rabbi Meir's position. V'ahayo. And which case is it referring to? V'ahakayo. V'ahakayo. V'ahiyakoyi. And which case is it referred to? Aho. Mi sheba v'aderech v'chashcholo. It's referring to the case of someone who's traveling and it gets dark. V'lo amru ma'arvin v'pas elo l'hakil man katanila. And the last statement of the Mishnah, that you could only make an eruv with bread, whose opinion does that reflect? Divrei HaKol. That reflects the opinion of everyone involved. Okay, so both like we have a fundamental machlokes as to how we view the machlokes of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Weiter. Tanya kavasi d'Rab Nachman. There is a braisa that supports the version of this dispute according to Rab Nachman. Echad ani ve'echad ashir me'arvin bepas. Both an ani and an ashir can make an eruv with bread. Velo yetze ashir chutz l'tchum v'yomar shvisasi bimkomi. And an ashir should not go outside of his tchum. I will say it doesn't literally mean go out of his tchum. Rashi explains that an ashir, remember, an ashir is a person with means, a person who's at home. So an ashir should not go. So it doesn't literally mean outside of his tchum. Rather, it means to the edge of his tchum. He shouldn't go to the edge of his tchum and say, Shvisasi bimkomi, that my makom shvisa, my domicile, should be in some forward place. Why? Lefi shelo amru ma'arvin beregel, ela lemi sheba baderech v'chashcha. Because the ability to go ahead and make an eruv with your physical presence was only said regarding someone who was traveling and the hour is getting late and they're not going to reach home. Divrei Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huda says, Echad ani ve'echad ashir ma'arvin beregel. Both an ani and both an ashir could establish a domicile with their physical presence. V'yetze ashir chutz l'tchum, and an ashir is permitted to go to the edge of his tchum. V'yomer, and he's permitted to say, Teheishe v'sasi bimkomi, let my makom shvisa be in this place. V'zehu ikaro sha'eruv, and this is the essence of eruv. V'tiru chachamim. And at the same time, the rabbis permitted lebalabais for lebalabos, right? For the balabais, lishloach eruvo biyad avdo, biyad bino, biyad shlucho. And the rabbis also permitted the balabais to go ahead and send food in the hands of his servant, his son, his agent, in order to go ahead and be lenient with him. Suppose I... Yes? He could be behind. The reason the Gemara never talks about that is because general assumptions and reasons in your doing this is because you want to get home. But technically speaking, when you establish your makom shvisa wherever you are, that gives you 2,000 hours in any direction you want. Remember, that's our, we actually have now a square. So I will say, what's interesting, so Lamaisa, just to tell you the halacha Lamaisa, we pass like Rabbi Yehuda. And we pass like Rabbi Yehuda, number one, that the Iker Erev is really done with one's body. With one's body, which means that the best way to establish your makom shvisa is your physical presence. The only reason the rabbis allowed you to establish a domicile with food was why? To make it easier on you. Because they will say, in order to establish a makom shvisa with your body, what do you have to do?
To be there.
You have to be there. Of course, there's one exception. Well, it's not really one exception. The only exception where you could establish a makom shvisa, even with that, that's not really, I was going to say the case that we just saw before, where two people are traveling together, and one knows the forward landmark, one does not, but the truth is still you're physically present. So really, you're supposed to establish an Erev with your body. The rabbis gave you a leniency and said, what? The rabbis aren't always so bad. Sometimes rabbis do make life easier. Right? So they said, okay, you know what? You don't have to establish the Makom Shvisa with your body. You can establish the Makom Shvisa with your food. What does that enable you to do? That enables you to give the food to someone else. So I don't have to go to the Makom Shvisa. They could put the food in the Makom Shvisa. And because you're acting as my agent, they create a domicile for me. One. You only get one Erev. One Erev per person. No, one Erev per person. So that was the case with the three chatzeros. So one Erev per person. So that's how we pass it, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that number one, Iker Erev, the real Erev is with my body. There is a leniency that was given to me that I could use food. Furthermore, now that we say that, of course, the ability to go ahead and establish a makom shvisa with my physical presence is for who? Is for the ani, or for the usher. That's for anyone. The one exception, that anyone could do that. The one chapez, but remember, the forward location is only for the ani. We're using ani, by the way, in this context as how? As a traveler. I remember meaning, I can't sit at home and I can't say to myself, listen, my tchum is 2,000 amos. You know that tree? You know that tree that gives me so much work that it exempts me from taxes? You know that tree out there? I want that to be my makom shvisa. So let's say that's within 1,900 amos of where I am. That you can't do. Because the ability to designate a forward location as a makom shvisa was only set for an ani, only set for a person who is not home, who is traveling. I will say, that being said, what I can do is I can get up from the sofa, right, and I can travel out to that tree if I want to, and I can establish that as my makom shvisa, my physical presence, but I have to do it as my physical presence. Okay,
you have to do it at sunset as well. You can't do it any time.
Right, correct. It's an important point. When you're using your physical presence to establish a makom shvisa, you have to be there at the onset of Shabbos. As opposed to, let's say, if you establish a makom shvisa with food, you could drop off that food sometime on Erev Shabbos and go home. Of course, that presupposes that somehow you're sure that the food was still in existence at the onset of Shabbos as well. But correct.
But if you're walking...
Let's finish this Gemara. So, Amar Rav Yehuda. Maisa ba'anshe beis mamo, ba'anshe beis gurion, ba'aroma. So Rabbi Yehuda says there was an episode with the people of beis mamo. These are cities. The people of beis mamo and the people of beis gurion, ba'aroma. Aroma was the place, this was the locale. Shehayu mechalkin grogros v'tzimukin le'aniyim b'sheni b'tzura. So we'll say, this is amazing. There was a famine. So somebody opened up a soup kitchen. And what were they distributing? Mamish, they had very, very little provisions. What are grogros? Grogros are dried figs. Simukin are raisins. This is all they had to eat. So they set up this soup kitchen. Mom, it's a soup kitchen with no soup. Right? So they're giving out these fruit to aniyim, and to the poor in the days of these famine. Uboin aniye kfar shichin, v'aniye kfar chananya. So what happened? So the residents of kfar shichin and kfar chananya. So these were people, again, not from the initial locale, but from a little bit of a distance. umachshichin alatchum lemacharas mashkimin ubaz. We'll say, what would they do? So apparently they were traveling from a little bit of a distance away. So apparently they started the journey on Friday, and what they did was they established their makom shvisa so that they can be within the tchum of the soup kitchen on Shabbos, and they came on Shabbos. So that's all the Gemara is doing is giving a maisa. It's telling us a story of where people actually used this type of process, of where they began traveling on Shabbos. They were not able to get to their destination before Shabbos. So what did they do? They established their makom shvisa within the tchum of the area they wanted to reach on Shabbos, and they traveled there on Shabbos. Ubayin. Amar Ravashi. Ravashi says, Masni sinami dega. The truth is, you can see this from our Mishnah as well. Diktani, mi sheyatza leilech le'ir. If someone went, this is actually a very interesting case of Osai, which we're going to spend time on this Mishnah a little bit later on. Right, he points out this Mishnah is on Nun Beis. We'll see this tomorrow, Mir Tashem. Mi sheyatza leilech le'ir. If someone sets out on a journey to a particular city, shema arvin la, with which he has an eruv. Four. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, mi sheyatza kol duhu. He begins a journey. Behechsik baderech le'ir shema arvin. Shesmucha le'iro l'sof dalet apai. V'yachol adam leilech mizu l'zoi de'eruv. So let's say a person, I live in city A, and I'm setting out to city B. There's 4,000 amos that separates our cities, which means what? That I can get from city A to city B as long as what? As long as you use an eruv, right? So as long as I put an eruv in the middle there, I can have access. And what happens? V'chziru chadero. And as I start walking, my friend tells me to turn back. Why does my friend tell me to turn back? Rashi says, v'chziru chadero. D'amrle eschamahu esinahu. So we're going to see, because my friend tells me, it's too cold, it's too hot. Hey, don't make the journey. And what happens? I turn back. So also the Gemara says, Mutar Leilich, I am permitted to still make that journey. The Chol B'nei Ha'ir Asurin. But everyone else, the residents of City A, cannot. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Hu Mutar Leilich, La'ach Le'machar, Lo'ose'ir Acheres Chol B'nei Ha'ir Asurin. So listen to this. The Mishnah says, Shabbos morning when I wake up, I can still go ahead and travel to that city, but all the other residents of city A cannot. So the Gemara says, what's going on over here? Umayshna inhu. Why Maishna ihu umayshna inhu? Why am I permitted to go and the residents of the city are not? Amravuna hocha mayaskinon. What's the case here? Kigon shiyeshlo shnei batim. I have two homes. One in city A and one in city B. Ushnei tchumei Shabbos beneihom. And there are two, as we pointed out, there are two tchums. There are 4,000 amos between the two cities. Ihu, since I began the trip, havile ani, I am like an ani. V'hanach ashirim minhu, whereas the residents of the city are like ashirim. Ama kol b'makom ploni in ani in ashir lo shmeret. So we'll say, what's going on over here? Look at Rashi. Inhu ihu keva denafik lo orcha. First look at sheish lo shnei batim. So we'll say, remember, what's the case over here? Now the Gemara is saying, I have two homes. One in city A, one in city B. Rashi says, sheish lo shnei batim. Echad bazeh ve'echad bazeh. V'hayarose leilich lebeiso sheve'ir acheres me'erev Shabbos. V'lishbos sham b'Shabbos. So we'll say, what was my intent? So Friday afternoon, my intent is to leave my city A home, and I want to go spend Shabbos in my city B home. V'lo yotza mi'beiso adayte tekniya shvisa b'sof atchom v'lachzor. El adayte le'mezel ad hasam v'chzira chaveras. Well, so remember, what was happening? When I started out on Friday afternoon, what was my intent? I'm not making any eruv or any makom shisa, because what's my intent? What am I doing? I'm getting to city B. I'm leaving with enough time that I can traverse the entire 4,000 amos, and I'm going to get to city B for Shabbos. And what happened? Then my friend turned me back. I went back to city A. So what did the Braise say? What did the Mishnah just say? The Mishnah says, tomorrow morning when I wake up, I can what? I found out that in city B they're having a hot kiddush, right? In city A they're only having sheet cake, right? So now I'm going to city B. So the Gemara says, why is that so? Look at Rashi. Iu keva denafak la'orcha. Since I began the journey erev Shabbos, mishum halicha mamish, velo mishum la'ari raglov, havi le'la'ani, v'yachol lomar shvisasi b'sof atchum, v'yisayim makom hanikar losham. We'll see this case later on. But essentially what the Gemara is saying for now, what we need to extract from this for now is, essentially what we say is, since I started the journey, and my intention was to get to city B, I'm like an ani, right? I'm like a traveler, and therefore what do I have? I essentially have that Eruv at the end of 2,000 Amos. Now, I will say, the Chiddush, of course, is what? I never actually made that Eruv at the end of 2,000 Amos, nor did I ever really have in mind to make that Eruv, because what was my intention? My intention was really to travel the entire way on Erev Shabbos. And again, I'm not going to get into this now because this will be tomorrow's daf, but for our purposes now, what it shows is that because I began the journey, I was given that Eruv. I was given that Eruv after the 2,000 Amos, and because I was given that Eruv, that allowed me 2,000 Amos past the Eruv, to the point that now when I wake up the next morning, I have the ability to what? Traverse the entire 4,000 Amos. 4,000 Amos. So we'll say, why is this here? The Gemara says, Alma, what do we see from this? So therefore, everyone else in the city, however, doesn't get to go to Sebi. Why? Because they're Ashirim. What does it mean they're Ashirim? Is that they were in their houses. They never began any kind of journey. Because they never began any kind of journey, they were not given any kind of forward makom shvisa. I, on the other hand, who began the journey Erev Shabbos, even though what? I turned back, was given the makom shvisa at the end of the 2,000 Amos. Therefore, I could travel the whole way. What does this show us? Alma kol b'makom ploni ani im ashir lo. What do we see from this, Rabosai? That the notion or the concept of a forward makom shvisa, which means the ability to create a makom shvisa, even though what? I am not there now. As long as that forward area is within my present 2,000 Amos, and again, remember the qualification of Rava, as long as that forward area is what? As long as I can technically reach it before the onset of Shabbos, I can establish as a makom shvisa. But that concept only applies to the Ani, the traveler, and does not apply to the usher, to the person at in home. The person at home can't designate some forward location as his makom shvisa. If he wants it as a makom shvisa, he's either got to show up there himself, establish it with his body, or what? Or Lemaise, he's got to go ahead and send someone with food. Shmamina.
This guy didn't designate.
So that we're going to get to. That's what correct. That's the chiddush in this case, which we'll see in the next Mishnah. He didn't have any intent to establish makom shvisa. Good. That we're going to get to that. But for now, the point that Gemara wants to extract from that is what? You see from here that in order to establish a forward makom shvisa, only an ani, the traveler, can do it, but the usher cannot. So we'll stop over here. But what comes out is, that's one more line. Masni la, Rav Chiya bar Ashi, the Chiya bar Rav, Kamei de Rav Acha. So Rav Chiya bar Ashi taught the Chiya bar Rav in front of Rav, Echad Ani ve'Echad Ashir. Both an Ani and both an Ashir can go ahead and what? Can establish the Makom Shvisa. The Gemara says, Amar li Rav, Siyem banami halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. Established halacha like Rabbi Yehuda. Ukid Rav Nachman bimkomi. So also, according to this version, they actually want to set up the halacha following Rabbi Yehuda as well. We'll see that lemaisa, the way we paskin is the following. So number one, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. But we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda in the area that what? That lemaisa, both in Ani and in Ashir, have the ability to go ahead and establish the makom shvisa with their body, with their physical presence. That's number one. Number two, the ability to go ahead and the ability to go what we call makom ploni, to establish a forward makom shvisa, only applies where? Only applies where? By an ani, by the traveler, but does not apply to the usher, does not apply to the person who's sitting at home. That's a kula that was given to the usher. That was given to the ani. Thank you. However, again, to qualify that statement, even with the ability to establish a forward makom shvisa, we also remember the qualification of Rava, that in order to establish a forward makom shvisa, not only does it have to be within 2,000 amos of where you presently are, but what else? You have to be able to reach there, to technically get there before Shabbos. It doesn't mean you have to get there, but you have to have the ability to get there before Shabbos in order to establish it as your makom shvisa. All right, so let's stop over here.
Rabbi, I know a couple of ways.